Now, in the 70s, Dawkins made this famous saying, you know, it's all with selfish genes and blah, 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 selfish genes, 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 genes. Absolute rubbish. Back to Hempel's dilemma, pessimistic induction. That gene, which he uses as a hypothesis, and hypothesis has been decimated. Absolutely decimated. And you can see why there on your screen. Genes are not atoms. Because remember in the 19th century, they thought, the most chaps quaffing their, drinking their sherry, thinking, oh, I knew everything about the world and physics. And they were devastated by that chap, Einstein. Well, it's the same biology. Genes are not what you read in the paper. It's desperately exciting, the study of genetics. And geneticists, atheists or religious, are ashamed by Dawkins' portrayal of this unbelievably exciting. And by the way, genotype just means your genes, your genome. And phenotype is just a posh word for your body, the expression of those genes and so forth. You have arms, you know, fingers and earlobes and stuff. That's roughly what that is. Here's one of example of this. So every time you have dinner, lunch, breakfast, that which you eat probably has more genes than you do. Because what they did think was the genes, so we would have more genes than a worm. Actually, we have the same amount of genes as a worm. But basmati rice has more genes than we do. Pinot grape is even more. There are types of algae, which is 100 times the amount of genes we do. So genes are not the atom upon which you can build a philosophy, a universal asset, upon which you can extrapolate an account of everything. Genes are wonderfully exciting. And I just gave that to you because just to go home and just see what I'm talking about. I won't read it to you, but this is exactly what it's about. This is so unbelievable. Genes are not little snooker balls or billiard balls or pool balls that go one into another and one causes one. It doesn't like that at all. It's not gene for X. It's not like that. And indeed, any time there is, for example, breast cancer, it's exception that proves the rule. So there you are. And that's scary, isn't it? It gets even worse. When I first read The Selfish Gene or Dawkins' stuff, I thought, flip me, this is it, this is The Selfish Gene, this is all this. And then you realise, flip me. Now you're starting to read Shakespeare of the gene. Even worse. So it's not even spatial. Here's your snooker ball, your pool ball, your billiard ball, your football, your soccer ball, but time actually is involved in it when it's expressed. For example, the heterochrony is how the genome expresses itself is linked to time. So for example, our brains are overdeveloped because it extended itself in terms of time, whilst our jaws are a limitation in time, so it retracted. So time is involved. Epigenetics. This is great because there used to be something called, typical scientists, my precious, called a central dogma, coined by Crick, based on a guy called August Weismann, who actually didn't believe in it at all. But the point was, only DNA carried information, and that's what you inherited. But epigenetics, which is a resurrection or a rehabilitation of a guy called Lamarckianism, which thought, we didn't realize this, that what you actually experience in the material world can actually be inherited. This is one of the great growths in biology. And it's no surprise for us, especially, because we as a species suffer something called altricality. And that's just a posh word for saying that we're a bit rubbish when we're born. So you see a horse gives birth, right? And there is the foal, and a dolphin gives birth, and it's all right after a bit, isn't it? It gives a few minutes and sort of bobbles around, and it gets off and eats fish and stuff. We don't. We're not just antenatal, we're so postnatal. In fact, our actual frontal lobes don't actually fully fashion, knit together until we're 18. The stimulus for our brains, actually we're still in the womb, and that womb is actually the world. That's actually quite unique about our species. That's, we're so vulnerable, so special, but so dreadful in that we can create an atom bomb, we can create chemical weapons, and we can do all manner of horrible things because of that ability. So it's not a superiority in one sense, but it is a uniqueness in another. So epigenetic convergence. Dead simple. Natural selection, a bit like a football league. You know, here Man United or wins over Everton, or Red Sox over White Sox, or some cricket team over another cricket team, blah, 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 natural selection does all that. Of course, that's true. But natural selection is bumping against something which makes it go down roots. So, for example, the octopus has the same eye as we do, but we have no genetic link with an octopus. But the camera eye, the exact same eye as we do, evolution takes these roots which are set. It doesn't actually, so it's really important, but it's responding to something which enables it to think at all, to act at all. This is all about complication. There's no my precious. The existence problem. We've all heard of the survival of the fittest, which actually wasn't Darwin's phrase. It was Spencer's phrase after he read The Origin of Species. And Darwin thought, oh, that's good. And he put it, I think it was the third or fourth edition, I can't remember. And it was his phrase, survival of the fittest. But the thing that natural selection can do, say biologists, is the arrival. It's the existence problem. There's actual structures that natural selection acts upon, but there are these embedded ways, a bit like mathematics, a bit like physics, a bit like chemistry, and so forth. There are structures there which aren't up to our will, and nor are they up to natural selections. So the play is, does a giraffe get eaten by the tiger? That's the play. Who wins? That's survival of the fitter. The theater is, how is there a kidney at all? How is it functional? How is there a neuron? How is there H2O? How is there? So the theatre is that which in which the play of natural selection evolution works.